Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Wednesday edition, 29th of August, 2018. The number to call, 434-1790. I am Lisa Gale, and I'll be with you until 1:30 p.m. Our producer today is Mr. John Stout. Brass Tacks allows persons to share their ideas, ask questions, clarify issues, and in this we get to see the gist of the country or the mood of persons within the society. It is also listened to by persons across not only Barbados but our region, and we do have a number of our North American and other listeners, so a special welcome to all of you. We had yesterday a discussion in the Parliament, but we also had some weekend news, and one thing that was particularly troubling was some information from the SAVE Foundation, which is the Service Alliance for Violent Encounters. And the focus there was on the impact that domestic violence is having on young girls, particularly as low as 14-year-old girls. And it was reported that their counterparts, boys, have been slapping them around in an effort to exercise and maximize control over them. And that some young girls are involved in some very abusive relationships. Then just a couple days ago, we saw the press release from the Prime Minister of Jamaica making an appeal because of a 14-year-old girl who was found burnt, and it was reported that she was raped prior to the burning, and members in the community would have heard some screaming, but because of the short time for which the screaming took place, there was no one to go to her rescue. This matter is a very troubling one, and we also hear about a lot of reports of young girls who are things that have not been reported to the child care board, etc. But a lot of our young girls have been exposed to all kinds of illicit activity. And it is not just located in sexual realities, but some of them are involved in violent behavior, them being the perpetrators themselves, abuse, then prostitution, and you name it. And in a society where we are having some socioeconomic challenges, this is particularly troubling because some people feel as though there are no choices, but there are choices. And I really want to share that very early, that we have to look out for our young people. I had the awesome opportunity only yesterday to speak to 30 young people, and they had just graduated from the ICA. It was a farm program, 7 weeks, learning things like farm production, a whole set of stuff as it relates to livestock rearing, agriculture, crop production, and the whole works. And it was so lovely to hear the stories of the internship. So yes, when you hear the stories of the weekend and then you spend time interacting with young people who have decided to have a career in farming and to have a future to advance food security, it is also a little encouraging to hear that. But I plead with you, if you can assist, if you can encourage, if you can uplift any of our young people, please do bring them in your home or play with them. And I don't mean play with them as in play a game, but just tell them something positive. Our youth are really in need of, and I don't mean all of them, but there are a number of them who have not got the exposure and the experiences. So that's my focus today. And I'm sure, as I said, there were discussions in the House of Parliament yesterday. We have to wait with bated breath to hear the scenario with respect to the IMF deliberations in a few days. I know the country has a lot of issues to discuss, and I really that was just one that I thought, as a young woman, it is important that we look at some of the matters that are of interest to us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I look forward to hearing you. I'm sure you have many other discussions that you would like to share with us. It will be my pleasure to hear from you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have our first caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning. down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Well, I'm the first caller.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
How are you doing?
Not bad. Well, I want to ask you, right, so you're talking about the youth. And how we could get them to understanding. We got a lot of work to do. And the older people actually, like, the youth, like, follow, like, leading, while the older people, like, following along with the thing. Like, if you really check the music now, the music, like, it gone astray. Everybody jumping on the bandwagon of the young music, and it, you can see the slide that it has taken. I know what you think about it, but I just did this last crop over here. I did like out. It really didn't capture me. I know if it had to do with the election or what, but I just like the. Oh, even the pick of the crop, I just tuned in the same very night of the finals just to hear who would have won. But I was really out of it. But I don't know, but you participate in like 4 day morning and those type of thing?
Participate?
Yeah.
If I jump for 4 day?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Okay, but you participate in the festival?
Yeah, the festival is one that is made up of not just the jumping. I think a lot of people focus on that alone, but we have art, we have galleries, we have tours, we have the calypso, both in the soca segment as well as the social commentary. There are so many segments to the season that when someone asks if you participate in it, it depends on which part. But yes, I might not jump, but I am a big proponent of festivals and of celebrating culture.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the thing, by the way, I asked about 4 day morning, because when you check 4 day morning, they're really nothing more than revelry, right, in that aspect. But the festival was supposed to be like culture, you know.
Right, so the 4 day morning, yes, is one where... don't forget, the 4 day morning is a jump in. You call it revelry, yes?
Right, it's more just revelry.
Right, but there are other elements to the festival.
Right, that would mean, but it turned into some people, as you were saying, there's a lot of people that actually seeing it just for the walk up thing.
Right, but so in other words, if you're interested in the art segment, you would go to the gallery, you would, you know, go to Bridgetown Market and go to the areas where that is of particular interest to you. If you're interested in the revelry, then the day of crop over and the 4 day morning will be applicable to you. So you look for the parts of the festival that is of import and you participate there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So which part did you participate in?
That's what I tell you, I didn't participate this year at all.
Okay.
But I just a lover of the music, right? Especially the social commentary. But
yeah,
as I was saying, the music take a slide downwards, and it ain't seem like it coming back, because everybody, the competition, well, lyric, I could dig some of the songs that he's singing, right? But, I mean, you want songs that ain't only for this year, you want songs that can stay up. And there are much songs now that being made that can stay up that long. There's just like Snow Cone songs. They're singing them for just win the competition.
Temporary.
Then next year, you can't hear them because they ain't got what it takes. You know, they just got the catchphrase and the hooks and so on. Okay. But I want to join with Mark Williams and talking about and dealing with the anger management type of thing. We need anger management. But I can see the problem with the society where people don't really have much patience, right? That's
yes.
Why you speak a lot about the spiritual aspect of it, which actually we need to really see than just more than church. Because people, the morality has dropped very low, and people are not really having the patience to do things they want now, things now, and so on. And I think that the government, I would blame the government too, because the government's supposed to be coming up with programs to help, you know, push our culture and bring people backwards, back to understanding. But I read something on the thing, but black people seem to be, I read something on the internet where they say that black people is actually, like, their own fault, problem, they create their own problems by greed. And I didn't get to really touch on the Innes issue, but I think that, you know, as a person that really sound like I supported the Dems, but the Dems problem is that they seem to be, like, more of that. They have more of that problem where they actually, like, pull down to one another, right?
I want to take you up on the point earlier about anger management. You started there, but then you went over to two other things.
Right, I know they're rambling a bit, yeah?
So just the anger management, you said you want to take up Mark Reilly's. I didn't hear what he said, but we as a society generally, it's something that we do need to work on, whether it's called conflict resolution, anger management. How do we handle conflicts? How do we get out of them? And it is a very good point. It's a very good subject area. I remember just as early August, we had a two-point presentation as part of Treetop Talks with some young people, conflict resolution, and we need to talk about it, and we need to get some programs going so that people understand that there are different ways of handling challenges, there are different ways of communicating a position, because I may not agree with you, that doesn't mean that I have to respond to you in a way that, you know, disrespects you in any form or fashion. We can come to an amicable agreement if there's a disagreement. And a lot of people are not necessarily poised with the know-how in dealing with challenges and being able to avert some unnecessary. That's why a number of more persons are sitting in prison right now, because they haven't dealt with managing conflict. I want to thank you for your contribution today. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. We have a caller.
Hello,
online.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, there are two things I want to talk to you. Well, one, the Bible, as you were some time ago talking about. But before I do that, I want to talk about this anger management thing. Right? Every human being on this earth have a limit.
Yes.
Mine might be shorter than yours, or vice versa. And there are always causes that cause people to do what they do. Now, I am going to speak from a real-life experience that I've had. There's this guy, I'm calling him, who comes into the Zara Astana morning, drop a lot of remarks to me. I ignore him. That's his mouth. He can talk whatever he feels like. I ignore him. I don't ever respond. Last Friday morning early, I was sitting in the Zara, leaning on the door in the front seat. The man came and pulled the door. Right? I didn't know that I was capable of getting so angry. I didn't say anything, you know. But you know what? If I had something in my hand, I wouldn't be here talking to you, you know. Now, had it come to that, people who didn't know what was going on would have said they shouldn't have done it. But there comes a time in a person's life when you cannot take it no more. Right? It's easy to say walk away. It's easy to say so, you know. And when you walk away, the person who is coming at you, they have this misguided belief that you're a coward. It isn't that you are not setting up to prove to them that you are not a coward. You saw this thing, and then I'm going to tie in this with the Bible. You saw this thing about turning next cheek. How many sheets do you have? Two. So when you turn out the sheet, you're going to get slapped and slapped and slapped. The only way you're going to get a reprieve is when that person has get tired. And as soon as they get by the energy and the strength, it's coming at you again. So what are you supposed to do? Be an idiot and don't retaliate?
That's a genuine question.
Somewhere along the line, you have to draw that line. You have to.
Well, because I agree with you that there are triggers.
Hello?
There are triggers that lead people to anger. All of us as human beings would express anger in some form or fashion. It is how you manage the anger, which is the big part.
You agree with
me. Even with provocation.
You had agreed with me at the beginning of this conversation that every human being has a limit, a time when it comes when they can't take it no more.
Right, but
mine might be longer. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do agree that we have limits to where we can't, but everybody doesn't express their anger in the same way. And the whole point of anger management is helping you to process that anger or process when you get to the limit. How do you then respond in a scenario? It isn't every time that you are angry that you need to lash out at the person that has offended you. And it isn't every time that you've got to your limit that you have to show the other person was, according to us in Beijing. It is how we get to that stage of management. What process do you use to even sometimes to even, we use it in mediation, where you settle people, where you avert, that natural response in some form.
Let me tell you something, Lisa. The only true thing about a fairy tale is once upon a time. And they live happily ever after is mere nonsense. And a lot of people looking for this fairy tale ending. But you know what? It don't exist.
In your life, it probably doesn't exist.
What you're saying to me sounds so nice. You know? But that is a fantasy. But
what is the fantasy? What is the fantasy?
Huh?
What is the fantasy?
You shouldn't retaliate and all of that. I mean, somebody pushing
you. Did I tell you that you shouldn't retaliate?
I'm pushing you. You understand? And you're supposed to just take it. Going to the police sometimes, I don't know if it's because all the laws are structured, but most of the time, the police only comes when something happens. I don't know if their hands are tied. I'm not a lawyer. I read something in the paper this morning. A man who's on bail for grievously body harm or something to that effect, or already on bail and committed a similar offense and get bail again. Huh? But you lock up a man for chocolate. You see, I heard Bob Marley say, laws just cause crime and violence. At the time, I said this man's a madman, but you know what? Every single day of my life, I see what that man was talking about.
So, question for you. Had you had that thing in your hand that you thought about this weekend?
I will be here.
And you were engaging with the person. What are you suggesting? What would you have done?
Because I have reached my limit with that man. I like you see, I don't come on this program to impress people that understand. You know, I understand. I got my faults. I got my strengths. I got weaknesses to anybody else. As I told you, I've been ignoring this man for months.
And you continue to ignore him on Saturday then?
Huh?
You would have continued to ignore him because you walked away.
Yeah, no, my grandfather always said it's the person that walks away is the strongest person. And he always said, if you're the idiot, put you in trouble. You're a bigger idiot than an idiot.
So your grandfather understood anger management then, clearly. Because he knows that you walk away.
You see, the person that you walk away from, right? They don't ever think this way. He don't want to bring some trouble with me. He got more sense than me. You know what they think? He freaking for me. So they think that because you walk away, they have a right to come at you and come at you and come at you and come at you. I know when I reach that stage, you know what it does? I focus on my children and my grandchildren, you know.
So I mean you have anger management mechanisms inside. You may not call them that, but you've come to a stage where you look at the beyond then, okay? You're looking at your grandchildren, you're looking at your children. So any decision I make now that could be inimical to them, I'm not going to make it. I'm not making any rash decisions because I'm angry. That's wisdom, don't you think?
I don't consider myself to be wise. I let people to feel like foolish. Because when people think you're foolish, they take you for granted. And the dust things in front of your very eyes that if you were considered to be wise and smart, it wouldn't do. So when you establish that, you just watch them, or watch them, and you think you had enough, I personally cut the rope. And when they cut the rope, I done with it. Done.
What's your next point today? You said you want to talk about the Bible.
The Bible. Right? No. I want to make it clear because I know what I'm going to say. I know a lot of people are going to come in and start judging me. I am not saying that there's no God. I am not saying that. Right? There has to be a being, whether it's Jah, Allah, God, Buddha, whatever, that is superior to man, because there's a lot of things that man cannot do. Right? But as I keep on saying, you see this King James Version of the Bible? I don't think it was edited for the benefit of black people, you know. I think it was edited to keep the minds of black people enslaved. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible is a record of man's creation. All this thing about turning that sheep and the sins of the fathers and the fourth and the third and fourth generation. You know, so you don't want your sins to fall from the third and fourth generation. So when people treat you, you're going to accept. But in the meantime, the same people who say that, they're breaking their own rule by going about the world, forcing their religion or beliefs on other people. And if you don't conform to it, they murder you. You understand? I see every man have a right to believe in whatever religion he wants to believe in. Nobody shouldn't come and force nobody to believe in what they want to do or what they believe in. Nobody.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your contribution. Down to Brass Tacks. You have another call on the line?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You can hear me clear?
Very well.
Hello?
Very well, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, good morning, good morning. Your volume gone up very low.
Okay. You probably need to increase
your... Good morning, sir. Good morning to the technical staff. And good morning to the listeners.
Good morning.
I'd like to publicly commend Mr. Muhammad Nassar for his voice for the underprivileged, the poor, the less fortunate, and the hard workers of this country.
Mm-hmm.
In the call for the balanced distribution of some development, the hard workers of this country. But what I would like to say, though, is it is a challenge. Not necessarily impossible, but it is a challenge, Ms. Miguel. And I will just quote two scriptures from the Bible to show that it's a challenge. One is found at chapter 18, verse 18. And I'll just paraphrase that one. A ruler asked Jesus a question. He said, "Good teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Well, you call me good. There's no one good but God." They just went on to talk to him about the commandments. He said, "Obey honor your mother and your father. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal." The man said, "All those things I've done." Jesus said to him, "You lack something. Go and sell all you have and give the proceeds to the poor." The Bible said the man went away grieved because he's very rich.
Yeah.
Jesus went on to say, it's a fact that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than a
well, he didn't say a sewing needle, sir. No. Don't put words in the Bible mouth. Say what you're saying, but don't say sewing needle.
Pardon me?
Say what you're saying, but don't say sewing needle, because the needle there refers to that thing that the camel actually goes through, which is a very small door.
Okay, but let me continue.
Mm-hmm.
What you're actually saying, though, it doesn't mean that rich people cannot inherit God's kingdom, you know.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't say that.
Money first.
Yes.
It's a hard condition. Because remember this man, he knew the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he knew the law. But when he was told to do that, he became grieved. Okay? The second scripture I want to quote. Just give me a second, please. This is from like James chapter 5. No. Mm-hmm. I hear the same what it says there. Come now, you rich men. Weep and wail over the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are rotted and your clothing has become molten, worth eaten. Your gold and silver are rusted away, and the rust is witness against you and will consume your flesh. What you have stored up will be like a fire in the last days. But this is a verse I want to send home to the people. It says at verse 4, look, the wages you have withheld from the workers who have harvested your fields keep crying out, and the cries for help of the reapers have reached the ears of Jehovah of armies. You see, what this is actually saying, it doesn't say you cannot be rich, you know. It's just saying do not put your riches before God or man. Mm-hmm. And it does not only apply to rich people, it applies to anybody that put money first. Okay? It doesn't mean that you cannot have money. No, it doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
And this is a very interesting scripture, especially the one of verse 4. I was speaking to a young man one time, and he was furious because he haven't been paid. Mm-hmm. And I showed him the scripture, and you know, he said to me, he said, preacher, if it's one thing the Bible said that's true, is these words at verse 4. Look, the wages you have heard from the workers have kept crying out to me. And I told him that was written 2,000 years ago. And it happened still today. So it's not going to get worse. So I just like to say to Mr. Muhammad and to those other voices that are anonymous, mm-hmm. continue with your zeal, with your heart. We know where your heart is. And it is interesting that we speak about heart. You understand? Because it is the heart of these people, especially, let's say that verse 5, you have lived in luxury and for self-gratification on the earth, you have fattened your hearts mm-hmm. on the day of slaughter. So you see, it's their heart condition. And I've just finished off here, nobody's saying again, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that all rich people are wicked. It doesn't mean you cannot have money, and it applies to equally to both rich, poor, and the righteous. Because the young man, the ruler, knew the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And next week, Lisa, if you are here or whoever is not on the program, I just want to touch on something else that Mr. Muhammad has to say that is pretty interesting too, but I want to deal with that now.
Okay.
That is the coming of Christ. Okay. So I'll leave it now and let this listening to your program.
Thank you so much. I like when people use some of these metaphorical contextual scriptures. And I like what the gentleman shared in terms of his conclusion. And his conclusion is pretty accurate that it is really us to not just focus in on the money or the acquisition of wealth, but let our hearts be as wealthy. And particularly that scripture, the first one he spoke about in terms of Luke, that eye of a needle, that's why he told him, do not use the sewing needle, because that's not what is in the Bible. It speaks specifically to a needle. And in those days, the needle referred, that's really a metaphor talking about a very small space. So in other words, you will have some difficulty, some constraints, etc. This is Down to Brass Tack. Couple questions. Did you receive your water bills? How can you manage? Are you prepared to give up anything more? What about the IMF deliberations? What about the Road Traffic Amendment Bill 2018? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me? I can hear you. I can hear your movement.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I can't hear.
You're not hearing me?
No. Okay, well, let me just speak though, guessing kids. Good morning to you. This is the first time I speak to you. And I'd like to turn the car up before the the gentleman that is speaking about the father in the lesson tells him that no one can, your freedom is more important than anyone. Don't let nobody take your freedom.
Yep, don't let anyone take your freedom.
Yeah, your freedom is more important than anyone.
Or it's more important than your anger.
Yeah, I can't hear you just talking.
Okay.
And he said about the Bible, the sins of the Father, was it interpreted to that because of that you would try to do better? Some people just don't care. So because you feel that something will happen to you,
okay.
And my last point is what you say on the when you speak about the young people.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you with what you said about the young women, because some of them mistake it for love. And because of all of these things that they see and they want, you know, they go to these fellows. And these fellows just beat them and treat them so unkind. And I think that young children is not enjoying the young, the children. They become women too early because of finance, because of home. Because of course, I think. So then they didn't have a chance to enjoy what a child is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you see 14 and 15. When I was 15 and 14, I was not a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess parents, no matter how poor they was, then look how far you are. But now you hear children telling you, they have to get the school shoes. They have to get this. So parents is not doing, some of them is not doing what a parent to do. And that is why these young women, and I got to hear you speak out a lot of, because I hear about the group that these young women is, and they're drinking, and the music also. Is trying a very intelligent thing, how to beat a woman, and thing, you know. So I guess I have to say thank you for that. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. The essence of that, some of you might not have understood, that she endorses a comment about women, and the challenge with some of our young women are that they're growing up a little too fast, not getting a chance to enjoy their childhood. And they sometimes mistake a slap, a beat, for love. I know when I was younger, you know, we used to laugh and say, you know, some people, we used to laugh and think that, how could somebody think that a beating is a signature of love? But some people actually believe that. And I would say for sure, domestic violence is no indication of any form of love whatsoever, or violence in any form is not an indication of love. And I would probably refer to you to that lovely piece of scripture in Corinthians 13 that tells us what love is from start to end. And it speaks to love forgiving, love not being boastful, love a lot of things for which love is, and none of it speaks to love being revengeful or those things. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, I know that your delay was not in the moment. Pleasant day to you, and God's blessing throughout the balance of the day. Now, I am in here coming out of a plea I had yesterday with Mr. Johnson that was raised this morning in terms of the anger management. And I hope it will not be taken out of context what I said yesterday in relation to it. And one must understand fully that this country, like all other countries, have got a very serious, but they want to deal with Barbados. We've got a very serious, serious, serious problem in this island as far as anger management is concerned. My suggestion yesterday was that everybody has got to be joining to the web in order to solve this problem of anger management. And I use reference to various civic promotions that we must go after. The church, the schools, the parents, the women, the men, everybody has got to go to this campaign of trying to reduce this anger management that is taking over this country in all forms. And I do not think we need to start blaming people. We have to start blaming ourselves for allowing things to happen.
Ourselves aren't people? Ourselves, you said we cannot blame people, and then you said we should blame ourselves.
Hold on, we cannot, listen carefully, we cannot go around naming and blaming. That's what I'm saying, and I want to get that across, right? Somebody want to blame the parents, somebody want to blame the church, somebody want to blame the women, all these things. If we stop and ask ourselves, daily we can see anger management in the movement of vehicles across the road as far as drivers are concerned.
Lack thereof.
That's right. Daily we can relate to anger management for some frivolous things that have been happening in this country. All I've been saying, Ms. Cummings, is simple. We all have to join the bandwagon.
This is not Senator Cummings. My name is Lisa Gale.